Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's choose. therightchapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. We're going to travel to Memphis, Tennessee for this story because this dude, he decided he wanted to go to an off-the-grid adult club on Tuesday night.
How do you even find out about these kind of places?
I know. I'd like to know. We probably have some around here. I don't know about
anything. Do you think we have an off, like, underground gentleman's club?
Ooh.
We have to. We have so many above the ground ones.
Yeah, maybe because we're so cool out here, we don't need an off the grid one. But they did in Memphis.
Okay.
And doesn't even have a name. That's how off the grid it is.
Ooh.
Yeah. And while I was there, he got into an argument with a 44-year-old guy wearing an eye patch named Gregory. Okay, I'm going to an off-the-grid place in Memphis, Tennessee. There's a guy with an eye patch. Okay, do I really need to get into an argument with him? Really? Does that have to happen?
If alcohol is involved, absolutely.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. They fought. Gregory wound up whacking the guy over the head 10 times with a bottle of vodka.
Jeez.
Alcohol literally was involved.
And what a testament to whatever bottling they used for that vodka.
Yeah.
That break.
No. Guy ended up with cuts on his head. Gregory was charged with aggravated assault. Cops are still investigating this whole thing. Again, this is an adult club. Why are people getting pissed off in an adult club? Just watch the entertainment, especially if it's off the grid.
Oh, man, I'm looking at Gregory, the eye patch guy. His mugshot.
He's like Nick Fury.
He looks pissed.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wow. But here's the thing. Gregory's in trouble. He's the one with the mugshot because Gregory's the guy that got attacked.
Gregory's the guy with the eye patch.
Yeah, so he got in an argument
with a guy named Gregory.
Oh, Gregory was the one hitting him in the head.
Yes.
Oh, eye patch went crazy on him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he pissed off the guy with one eye.
That's what it is, yeah.
Sure, you don't didn't see that coming.
Don't piss it. The dude looks like Nick Fury. You're not going to fight Nick Fury. I'm just not going to do it. Okay? It's just not going to happen. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if Memphis has the same rules as we have here in Seattle or in Washington with the whole you can't drink at the gentlemen's clubs, because he said he got beat up with a bottle of vodka. Maybe this is why it's an underground place so you can drink and look at boobs.
Oh, could be.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, we got to. Yeah, you're right. With our restrictions, we have to have an underground drink booze and watch the girls kind of thing.
What kind of girls are you getting to check out at these kind of places, though? I mean, I can't
Memphis,
imagine.
Underground.
The dirty ones.
Yeah.
Like the ones you really don't want to see up on stage.
Oh, you mean like the afternoon show?
Oh, no. Matinee? Yeah.
See, I'm talking more like the 3 p.m. show. Like
okay.
You know, you get that noon to 2. You got some people going on a lunch break, so you want to have some attractive ladies there.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
You got that window from like 3 or 4 o'clock until about 8 p.m.
All right, so it's the 3, yeah, so it's the 3 to 4 o'clock situation.
Yeah, if it was radio, it would be like the men's room, unfortunately, would be the unattractive strippers.
I see.
It's like that time slot.
Yeah, the rev with a wig is what you're saying, is what we're going to be looking for.
Hey, I'm the morning stripper here.
Which would be worse, Rev.
Yeah, I guess that's a really good point. Who's going in the mornings?
Unless it's breakfast? Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, breakfast and boobs.
Breakfast and boobs.
Ooh, is that a new idea?
Mm.
I mean, we take a look at all the latte stands that people go early morning coffee and look what they get.
You
I
know,
mean,
some ladies have like those kind of like the... Yeah. It'd be those kind of late. Like, the ones kind of like pancakes.
Oh, really?
Oh,
so you get some pancakes, or maybe you get a nice omelet. You
some
never
flapjacks
know.
There?
Yeah. Okay.
They should call them flapjacks.
Flapjacks.
Okay.
$1 million idea.
I love this. All right, so great idea, Steve. Put it up with Boober. Yeah,
oh, you can get Boobers to flapjacks.
Yeah, your rideshare company Boober with your topless drivers.
Perfect.
I'll be honest, I'm not investing in flapjacks. I'm not feeling this one.
Oh, come on, man.
You're not feeling flapjacks?
I'm not feeling flapjacks.
Oh, come on.
I love the name, but the whole concept and everything behind it, not really going to go to that place. So why would I invest in it?
Like, if it's going to be a breakfast place, I mean, instead of like a flapjack, why don't we like focus on a different kind of pastry, something like a popover, something that's going to be big and round and delicious.
Popovers.
Instead of a flapjack.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just trying to help the business.
Next,
I'm not.
And next door it could be for the ladies, and it would just be serving sausage.
Okay.
Not hungry.
Still not investing in this.
Yeah, I know.
Guys.
I'm trying to sell Steve on this, and it ain't working, man. I'm trying.
Someone said that escalated quickly.
Yeah, sure did.
Another person says they don't call it the Dirty South for nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of repression going on down there. So, of course, you get a lot of underground activity because it's, you know, for years, it was restricted. You can't have fun in the old sexual way. And South was big on that. And, well, there you go. Memphis Underground. Oh, man, that's got to be. Yeah, it's got to be like a dive joint. It has to be.
It's got
to
be nasty.
Super divey.
It's got to be nasty.
Man. Yeah.
I mean, look. If we were in Memphis and someone says, yo, do you want to go check out this underground strip club? I'd be like, yes, of course.
Especially if there's a guy named Gregory there with an eye patch. I got to go.
I mean, nothing but awesomeness is going to come from that.
Yeah, I'm not going to get in a fight with Gregory. I'm going to say, look, instead of hitting me with the vodka bottle, how about I buy you a drink? You know, how about that, Gregory? Damn. All right, here's a survey. 500,000 people actually took part in this survey. That's okay. a lot of folks. It was an online poll. About hygiene and cleanliness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go.
Well, we're going from an off-the-grid club to, you know, hygiene and cleanliness.
So basically, let's find out how disgusting Steve is.
That's it.
Yeah, right? I know. I already feel attacked.
Here we go.
Right?
Yeah, you and Rev? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How often do you change your sheets?
Oh, we've had this conversation once a week. We change ours.
Yeah, I do once every 2 weeks.
And it's not because of me. It's all the wife wants this done, so I'm not going to be like, no, we can't change the sheets every week.
Before you were married, how often did you change the sheets?
Oh, yeah.
Never.
Once a month, maybe.
Yeah, I'd say once a month. Okay. Maybe once every couple months, depending on how the single life was treating me.
Right, if it was the winter months, not a lot of people out there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're... Look, you've got to change your
mind. Spell that those sheets stayed on there for a while.
What we're talking about is normal bedroom activity as opposed to the extracurricular activity. You have to change them much more frequently if you're a lucky person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. You can't. Yeah. You can't. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Some people, though, 6% said they pretty much never change their sheets. Let's hope.
No, that was probably me. Well, it was absolutely me before I was married.
Yeah, because you weren't getting any action.
Well, thanks, but you're not wrong.
No. Yeah, and as long as... never mind, I didn't want to go down that road.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, she's got changed when they need to be changed.
Okay. How about this? Brushing your teeth. How often does that happen?
Every day.
Yeah. I would hope. There better not be somebody on this planet that says they don't brush their teeth at least once a day.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going twice, sometimes three times a day.
Good for
really?
You, buddy.
But not like, you know, I get the hardcore one, like the one where you spend several minutes. But then sometimes I just like, I just feel like I just need to freshen up a little bit.
Like it feels a little fuzzy in there?
Yeah.
Oh, we got the mouthwash for the little mouthwash swish in that one. But I'll do that, yeah.
All right. So about half the people say they brush twice a day. And once or twice, depending on the situation, 40%. So depending on the situation, maybe once or twice. So what is it? So there are people out there that don't do it once a day.
Well, they say tough. Once or twice, so it probably once in the morning, then just the fuzzy feeling, like Steve was saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I'm doing the math on the 48 and 38, and I'm not getting 100%, which means there are some people that are not doing it once a day.
Well, maybe they're doing it, like, four or five times a day.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, there's no reason why I got to go down the road.
It's me over here really hoping that people aren't nasty and not brushing their teeth every day.
I do know of people, though, that don't brush their teeth.
How do you not leave your house without...
Yeah, they'll use the breath strips, they'll use whatever, but they just don't like doing their teeth. How about flossing? You guys do that?
No, every day.
Good for you. Yeah. See, there we go.
I have a flosser stick, and I'll do most of my teeth most of the day.
You don't floss, girl?
I do, but like I have a...
The real deal. You got to do the real deal, not the floss.
No, I have like an actual big, not like the ones you use that you keep in your pocket. I have an actual big, long one.
Oh, all right. What about flossing, though?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Still a big, long one.
All right. As long as you floss your teeth. I mean, that apparently does work.
Smell get stuff out of in between.
I just
them.
Remember when I didn't
you mean
floss.
Oral hygiene actually works.
Yeah, well, the flossing part, like that's yeah. the one that really I thought, yeah, come on, guys, I brush my teeth. What else do I need? But then when I started flossing on a regular basis, that's when I like my teeth were doing okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I guess it's all right. All right, how about this? What is an acceptable amount of time to leave dishes in the sink?
Until your wife yells at you.
Yeah, right?
That's acceptable.
I mean, pretty much the minute we eat, they're washed and then out of the sink.
Yeah, you guys are good like that.
But back in the single days, man, sometimes sinks would just stay in there, especially with a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
It was that game of who's going to do the dishes first, and it would go sometimes for like a week.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I'd never do my roommate's dishes, and so they would just sit there, and then, yeah, it just turned into a game of chicken.
Hell, here at the station, sometimes it feels like people will at least let it go the entire day before Ryan Castle sends a mean email out.
I just don't get right. it. We were just at a convention. We were just at a where we all stayed overnight at a place, and there are people that just leave their stuff everywhere, and it's like. It's like we're all here. No, nobody's your parent here. Why aren't you picking up after yourself?
I don't get that.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Especially at work where you're like, who do you think is cleaning this? We don't have a cleaning service that comes in and does the dishes for people.
We actually had somebody said, just put it in this big tub and then I will put it in the big dishwasher. Like, uh-huh. So all you had to do was put it in the tub. And they couldn't even get it into the tub. They just left it all over the tables. And I'm like, who are these people? I wish I could have seen them because you know me. Vicky, you know me. If yeah. I had noticed the person and saw it was their thing, I'd be yelling at them going, seriously?
Yeah, you're just too stuck on your game to notice.
That was the problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
I always leave, if it's like a cup or a little plate, like for like a dessert thing you had in bed, I'll leave that in until like the next day. I'm not going to get to it right away.
Half of us are about like that. One yeah. day is enough. Yeah.
And then if it's a big pot, then it will soak for 3 days. Because okay. it has to soak for 3 days, right?
Okay, that's a lot.
Okay, that's just my excuse to not yeah. have to do it right away.
A quarter of us do a few days. And then there are the folks that, you know, the, a small percentage that say longer. Yeah, and then Steve, 20% of the people like you and your wife, right away, get them done.
Get them done.
You guys are hygienic.
Well, she is, and I'm just following her lead.
Yeah. There you go.
I can't act like I'm special.
All right, how often do you clean your bathroom?
Oh. Once a week.
Yeah, pretty frequently, actually.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you do the full clean, or do you just want to, you just get the brush so it doesn't look like it's not dirty?
Well, for the toilet, it's the full clean. I've got the wipes, I've got the spray, I've got everything.
Good for you, buddy.
Well, I mean, yeah, and then the wife has to do the rest of the bathroom.
That makes sense, because you wreck the place.
Yeah, I have to do the toilet,
yeah.
and she gets to do everything else.
Yeah, she's not touching the toilet.
No, that, and I wouldn't even
that's grounds for divorce.
Yeah.
And she has a ton of hair, so I'm assuming the shower drains hers, too, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
See, I get on my hands and knees and clean the bathroom maybe once a month, but that's like full on. You get the comet out, you get the barkeeper's best friend, that gets everything nice and shiny.
You know, I think people would pay to watch a video of that.
I mean,
oh dear.
Why not?
I mean, who's getting on their hands and knees to clean anymore? Really? You're doing
right.
old school?
I get into the shower and scrub every yeah. inch of the shower. It's yeah, one of those bathtub situations.
I'll just bend over and clean.
Yeah.
Oh, that people pay for watching wow. videos of that, Steve.
I gotta make sure it's clean, but then, you know, I do it once a month. And the rest of it's just kind of like Damn. The Passover with like a little wipe.
All right.
They should have done this whole study interviewing people who ask these questions when they're single and then track them down when they get married yes. after about like 2-3 years yeah. and ask the same questions, because I feel like we would all have different answers. Like just listening to the Rev and even myself,
mm-hmm.
these are not the answers I would have given you in my 20s.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, well, like, yeah, once a week, of course.
Mm, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys are way over the top on this one. You are overachievers.
Okay.
71% of the people say they clean their bathroom once a month. 71%. Wow. How did we get so hygienic? I mean, seriously.
Marriage.
Yeah.
Once a month is all people do? I mean, maybe parts of the bathroom you don't got to worry about, but I feel like the toilet's got to be cleaned more than once a month.
Honestly, now that I've been doing it as much, I couldn't even imagine going back to like letting it stay dirty for a month or so. It would just be too disgusting. Even if I was like, if I became single again for whatever reason, I would still continue the trend of cleaning
after,
it every week.
After seeing it clean, I would be embarrassed if somebody came over and they saw the way that my stuff was when I was a bachelor.
Yeah. All right, here's some bad news for you. You ready?
Uh-oh.
Now, you know we work in a building with a bunch of people.
Oh, we do?
Bunch of slobs.
Yeah, so this survey says pretty much 2 in 10 people clean their bathroom a few times a year, which means it's not even
like
once a month.
Like once a quarter, every 3 months or so.
And almost 1 in 10, which means we'll go outside, see all the people we know. One of those people out there never cleaned their bathroom. according to the survey.
That's the person that pees on top of the urinal.
Yes, I, yeah.
No. The worst.
That's the person.
It's like the most disappointing thing when you're seeing a dude and you go into their bathroom and in their shower and it is just mold and disgusting. You know, that pink ring that gets on it. It's like, bro, come. I even told this dude I was about to hook up with him. What is this? Like, what's going on? You're over 30 years old. You can't figure out a shower curtain. You can buy a new one.
Yeah, dude. It's not. And you know what? I'm surprised when, again, because the way I was raised, women were always the, you know, the butterflies and the sweetness and whatever. And you and I have walked into some women's places and I'm like, I thought I was going to retch. It was like, I don't know if I can do dinner. This is insanity.
That bad.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, how are you living like this? How is this possible? And some of these women, like, they're my age. And I'm like, you, this is, what? How? And it doesn't get better when you get older because your eyesight goes on you. So I know that you see less and less of the filth that you're living in. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, there's less of it then, right?
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. All right, how often do you, we know, Steve, you shower, what, 7 times a day?
If I'm lucky, yeah.
Yeah. No,
twice sometimes, yeah. More, I don't know.
Yeah.
Depends on the day. If I go to the gym, obviously I'm going to shower more than once.
Yeah, twice a day is 7% of the people. You are way in the minority. About half of us will always say once a day. But 35% of us have followed science, Steve, like I've told you.
Science.
They don't shower every day.
Wait, do you shower every day, BJ?
I mostly do, but when I
mostly do means
you're
he
not
doesn't.
Following science either.
I don't follow. I know, and I didn't say it was easy to do because I was trained like you guys to think you're supposed to shower every day. So I have to practice on the weekends, and I have to tell you it's hard for me not to
practice
shower.
Not showering.
Yeah, it's what? The weird. It's
do
the weird.
Do you like to shower? Do you feel good after taking a shower?
Yeah, but I don't want. I want to be healthy. I don't want my skin to flake off, and I don't want like all the stuff that science says happens.
I've never read an article that says man died at a younger age than expected because he showered too much.
Not yet.
And I think it also depends on what part of the world you live in. Because my folks, I told them the same thing.
Like, I live in Seattle, Vicky.
I try to explain to my parents, you don't have to shower every day, but they're used to, when they grew up, they lived in a place that had a lot of smog, so they had to shower once or twice a day.
Oh,
so
that
being
makes
clean
sense.
Is an important thing. Like, they need that fresh feeling in the morning, so they will always be a daily shower person.
Yeah. So I'm practicing. I'm really, like, on the weekends, I'll go, all right, I won't. I won't shower every day. I'll miss a day. So I got 6 days a week. I'm a 6-day shower.
You still change your underwear, though, right?
Oh, you're supposed to do that?
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that, do you ever wear a shirt twice without washing it? People say yes.
Yeah. What kind of shirt are we talking about?
Oh, it's like, it's your fancy shirt.
Like t-shirts, I know.
You got to wash those.
No, t-shirts, yeah, sweatshirts.
Yeah, exactly. But like button-up shirts?
I air mine out, too. Like I said, I put them outside and I air them out. So I don't wash my shirts a lot unless I get a stain on them. I air them out and they're fine.
Yeah, if I'm wearing an undershirt under something, I'm not washing that every time.
Yeah, underwear? To you again,
love them.
Go out to this room, okay? We have a room full of a bunch of people that we work with,
okay?
And again, 1 in 4 of them wear their underwear more than once a day.
No.
Yes.
No.
Go out there right now. Probably somebody who's fancy.
I don't want to know those
charge.
People.
It's probably Castle.
Yeah, it's probably Castle.
1 in 4 means
1 in 4.
One of the people in that room right there that you were in, right there, BJ.
Joe. No, I'm not.
It's BJ on the weekends when it gets dirty.
I've started the accusations now.
Oh, dude, no. When I don't shower, I'm a multiple underwear a day guy when I don't shower. Because I feel like since I haven't showered, I got to make sure I'm fresh and clean. So I'm a 2 underwear a day guy on the day I don't shower.
2 underwear a day.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, dude, I'm always like, I'll go home from work. And then if I have plans later on that night, I'm putting on different underwear. I'm not wearing the same. The minute the underwear comes off, it never goes back on until it's clean.
Oh, yeah.
This is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, even like when we went and did the shows with Steel Panther, I was like so freaked out because I'm like, oh man, we're gonna have to play a show. I'm gonna sweat during that show. I'm gonna have to change.
Yeah, you are.
So now I'm carrying like a bag with me to the club. You know, we have obviously our luggage and our stuff over at the Airbnb, but I'm carrying a bag that has like multiple pairs of underwear in it just so that.
I love that, the underwear bag.
I was gonna say, you have a bag with everything you might need. You sound like me.
And it was at one point, we just finished our set. I go up there, and then Bob, this guy that runs Live Nation in Vancouver, he just wanted to tell us, hey, thanks, great job, blah, blah, blah. He walks into the dressing room, and there's just me just drinking Jack Daniels in my underwear. Because I was like still kind of letting my body air out. And he just walks in.
Wow.
It didn't even faze the
guy. I was going to say, that is not the weirdest thing he's probably walking in.
Exactly. He had a full-on conversation, didn't even bother him, that here I am just drinking in my underwear.
That's locker room living right there.
I think the great. Weirdest thing about that whole thing is picturing you drink Jack Daniels. I didn't picture you as a Jack Daniels guy.
Well, that was the only hard alcohol we had in the room, and I wanted a shot.
Got to take what
that
you got to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Steve did get to spend the weekend with his band opening for Steel Panther. It was an awesome time. And the guys in Steel Panther actually shared a crazy story about a show that they played in Japan. You're going to hear that at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9
KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Over the weekend, Steve got to play three shows in Vancouver. His band, Bruiser Brody, opened for Steel Panther at the Commodore Ballroom.
It was awesome. Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. And Friday and Saturday sold out. So Thursday didn't sell out. And we were like, okay, well, I'm sure it's going to be great. Show up. And the crowd was awesome. The show was a lot of fun. And I'm like, there was a lot of people there. And I was talking to Bob, who works at Live Nation, the guy that runs the shows for Commodore. And he's like, oh, there's maybe about 500-600 people here. Wait till tomorrow. It's going to be nuts. Because it holds about 1,100.
Damn.
And I'm thinking, if this is half full, it felt great. The room was awesome. The crowd was great. And he was right, though. The next couple of nights, it went from a really fun show to just being next level. Felt like rock stars. It was one of the greatest experiences of all of our lives. And so many great opportunities happened throughout all that. And thanks to the guys in Steel Panther for that. And also, I want to thank Levi Lyon from Lion Pride Party Buses. He took us down there in the party bus. And we thought for sure we were going to get flagged at customs because, you know, this thing's got advertisements for pot shops and, like, you know, bars. And it's an awesome party bus. We got a big trailer. I'm like, we're so screwed. We're not getting into Canada. Like, this is going, like, it's time to make sure that how's your butt feeling because it's going to feel different later.
Yeah.
And, dude, we walk. Luckily, because of Live Nation and Bob from the Commodore, he sent them all of our info to customs. So, like,
that's
we showed
cool.
up, we had the paperwork and we had a cover letter from him. I've spent more time getting through the border with my wife in our car than we did in this bus with all of our gear. We were in 5 minutes.
First class.
It was great.
Wow. What you're saying is Bob's got to write us all a letter if we want to go to Canada.
Yes. Yes, Bob's got pull, man.
All right, Bob.
He's the dude.
Love that.
It was awesome, dude.
Well, a lot of fun stuff happened, including prior to Saturday's show. How about your two band buddies, Glenn Cannon and Jeff Rouse? They sat down with Steel Panther's drummer, Stix Adinya.
Stix Adinya is the funniest name ever.
Stix Adinya. I mean, you're right.
So we brought recording equipment because, you know, Glenn and I do the mix catch. Like, we got to do a podcast while we're in Vancouver. But every night we got so blacked out drunk that we kept forgetting. So I'm like, we're taking this recording equipment to the club. We always have downtime in the dressing room. Let's just record a podcast there. Run into Stix Adinya. And we're like, hey, man, would you want to jump on with us? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, you got a lot of downtime. So anything to kill some time is always up. Anyone's up for it.
That's a great idea.
So when we were talking to him, I had to ask him a silly question because they have a song called Asian Hooker.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic.
And sometimes they bring up Asian ladies on stage while they perform, which is what they did at these shows. But there was, like, a really attractive lady in the front. There was an Asian lady. And she's singing along to every song. And it's just so cool to see, like, just, you know, you just got all different types of people, like, you know, the butt rockers, the people that don't even like metal that are at the show because they know it's entertaining and funny.
Yeah.
Because those guys put on a show. It's not just a rock show. It's a full-on performance in between every song. And so I had to ask him a stupid question about that, of course.
There are not a better feeling than seeing a really hot Asian woman singing Asian Hooker. We have for the last two nights.
We did Ozfest in Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
We opened with Asian Hooker because if you don't, you're kind of a... You know what I mean?
Right.
You're like, we're in Tokyo. You could see the... Like, you know that sound when a little puppy hears a high pitch like a... Like that confused, like, are they doing this right now? And then they got into it. It was awesome to watch them, like, jump up and down to Asian Hooker. And, you know, every single one of them is Asian.
Dude, that's legendary.
I love that we did it.
Yes.
We actually wrestled with it. We're like, maybe do we open with Asian Hooker in Tokyo? Yes. Yeah, because if you don't, then this story never happens.
What size right. audience are we talking? How many people?
I think it was about 30,000.
That's
it was
incredible.
30,000.
Wow. I mean, that's it is a really good question because you just wonder, like, how can this go for us? I mean, I would have been wondering, do we do the song at all, let alone do we open with it?
Yeah, we talked a little bit more into it, but that was the argument was, should we just ditch that song from our set list? But it's one of their most popular songs.
Yeah.
So you got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, you would expect Steel Panther to be what exactly they are. I mean, if you're going to a show, I mean, you got to, hopefully someone has told you, look, here's what these guys are. They're over the top, crazy, do not have any sensibilities, do not get offended. It's just what they do.
And we'll put the whole podcast on the Mixcast, probably tomorrow's Mixcast. I got to edit. There's a lot of cursing. But but you even talked a little bit about that. And the climate that we're in now, some of your songs, you know, could be considered quote unquote offensive. And they're just like, and their whole reaction is, we're lucky because people just know what to expect when you go to a Steel Panther show. You're not going to it, you know, and oh my gosh, I can't believe they sang these songs. Like, you go in knowing that it's going to be slightly offensive, but in a fun, lighthearted way. Nobody gets bothered by it, and they're in a lucky position because some other artists, if they tried that, probably couldn't pull it off, but they do it, and they do it really well.
Yeah, I am happy to hear that.
But one of the highlights, so when they do that song, Agent Hooker, and then they do some covers as well, like they did like Living on a Prayer and some other songs, they bring up a bunch of girls on stage, like anyone in the crowd that's a female and willing to jump on stage and dance with them, which is,
oh, nice.
We're watching from the side stage. Like, the first night we were up in our dressing room, and one of the guys in our band's like, you need to come down. And we're still like, yeah, we'll be down in a second. We're drinking and talking. And he goes, there's boobies on stage. We all put our drinks on and ran.
Of course. Okay. All right. That was the
boobies.
Right. That was the headline. You should have led with that.
Right. He said, you need to come down. Right. Yeah. 2 seconds later, he comes back out. There's boobies on stage. We're like, we're coming. So great. So now we're watching all this like insanity happen. But on Friday night, so there's always somebody that's so drunk they decide to walk around where the drum riser is and stand on the drum riser next to Sticks while he's playing and trying, you know, dance on him. But on Friday night, there was this woman that was an older woman. And, you know, she was wasted. Like, at one point, her top's just off and she's just walking around on the stage. And we're just like, yeah, you shouldn't do that.
Yep.
Well, then she jumps on the riser and we're like, nothing bad's going to come
of
this.
No.
Takes off her top again. Now she's topless. And she's just trying to motorboat Sticks while he's playing. And at first you could tell he's like, oh, haha, that's funny. And then it was like, these boobs are not moving away. They're getting closer to his face.
And now he's
his neck while playing because you know, he doesn't want to be a part of it, but he's trying to have a good time and be this rock star. And his whole crew on the side, we're all laughing and we're all wondering, when is the crew going to help him? And none of them are helping and they're just letting it happen.
Just letting it happen.
Until it finally hit the point of like her hand was starting to go into a certain spot.
Oh boy.
And then then the crew came and said, okay, you need to go. And I've never seen a more relieved man than Sticks while that happened. Like, he's just like, thank God that got weird for a second.
Yeah, it's like, are you guys really gonna let this happen to me?
So then we were talking with him on Saturday before their show. We were like, oh, let's go around, let's just talk about some of the crazier things we've seen. And of course, that's the one that he brought up during the chat.
Okay, well, I can tell you that last night during our show, I don't know if you guys saw.
Oh, is this during
Super Cougar came up.
Super Cougar is putting it
Super
mildly.
Cougar came up and whipped the boobages out, and she proceeded to bang my head around in the middle of them, and they were really hearty. Dude, I wear in-ear monitors.
Yes.
And I'm like, her are gonna go in my and pull my monitors out. I was like, and then she started to grab me. I don't know if you guys saw.
Yes.
Dude, she was aggressive to the point where, like, don't get me wrong, I can get down with some freaky stuff.
Yeah.
Super freaky. But it was so aggressive and I wasn't turned on, coupled with the fact, like, I'm thinking now, and I don't even know her, but I'm thinking she's not impressed. That guy's got a tiny unit.
Best thing about that part of it was I was standing with your guys' techs on the side stage,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was like, well, should we go get her? And the other guy's like, no, let's wait this out.
I think they thought they were helping me by not helping me.
Yeah. Well, I think there was a moment where you looked out to the side stage and we're all there and you looked at us and I gave us this look like, help. And I think I just went, yeah. This is like pumping my fist. I'm so wasted.
It's heavy metal. If you can get a girl putting her boobs all over your face while you're rocking, that's like, isn't that the goal?
Right? Yeah. Steel Panther, ladies and gentlemen.
And That night, dude, the Saturday night show was just next level. I mean, and they were awesome because during our sound check, we were working on one of our songs and Styx walks by. And Styx was a big part of why we got to be a part of this. He discovered our band and fell in love with us, turned on. The whole band just kept thanking us for playing with them because they kept saying, we're big fans of your music. This is really cool for us to get to do that.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot of humbling moments because of that. You just realize, wow, that's cool that these guys are at that level and they're still willing to help out a band that's struggling, just trying to do what we do. And they gave us an incredible opportunity to win over some new fans in Vancouver. And then while we're doing sound check, Styx gets up because his drums are set up behind me. And he just gets on his drums and he starts playing the song. Like, he knows our song.
Wow.
And we're watching and we're all just kind of geeking out, but I can't turn my head that well. So I'm like, this is awesome. I can feel his power as I'm playing because you have the bass drum and all that. Yeah. And you just feel it all.
He started playing your stuff.
Yeah. So then we finish and all of us were like, damn it, no one filmed that. That sucks. And we're like, hey, man, you should do that to us tonight when we play. And so while we were performing on stage, and he wanted it so that we acted like we never even saw him, so it was like a ghost of Styx. So none of us acknowledged him on stage, but he just walked up while the song was going on and just started playing and just jamming out, and the place was just going nuts, of course.
Oh, yeah.
He gets off as soon as the song ends, and I turn around, I'm like, what happened? And later on that night, some guy's like, dude, Styx was playing drums behind you. I'm like, no, he wasn't. And then when I was like, no, man, he totally was playing drums during one of your songs. I'm like,
that's awesome.
And I looked at it.
So awesome.
But, dude, it was cool they did that. And then during their set, they brought up Travis and Jeff from our band to do Man in the Box, the Alice in Chains cover.
Oh, nice.
Which was really freaking cool because it was just like a great opportunity to show, you know, a little more exposure for our guys. And Travis killed it and jumped into the stage and then into the crowd. And they're all holding him up while he's singing. I mean, it was total, like, just rock star moments for all of us. It was an incredible
experience.
That's
awesome for Travis. He's so good.
He's so damn good. Yeah. And I think he was super humbled by how much love the members of Steel Panther had for him because they knew of him before with Second Coming and things like that. Yeah. So it was a great night.
And that Jeff kid's pretty good too.
He's done okay for himself.
Yeah, he's done all right for himself.
It was funny though because they came up to him and said, hey man, we're going to do Man in the Box. Travis is going to sing. You want to play bass? You know the song? He goes, yep. And I'm like, great. All of a sudden, Jeff comes into the dressing room with his bass. He goes, I got to learn how to play Man in the Box. He never even played it before.
Wow.
He's like, but if a band asks you, do you want to jump up on stage and play with them? You don't say no.
Yeah.
So he just then spent a good maybe half hour just listening to it and practicing it so that he was ready to go.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
You got to be good when you can just go, oh, yeah, I can learn this.
Yeah, Jeff doesn't suck on the bass.
Yeah.
It's the reason why Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, who's a great bassist, has Jeff as his bassist when he does Loaded.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude.
It was fun, dude.
I'm glad you guys got to do that. That is, I mean, on every level, that is so cool.
It was so much fun. Yeah, it was. Yeah. And everyone there at the Commodore, I've never felt more welcomed by a club. You know, not that clubs are jerks, but from security to the behind the scenes people to the front of the house people, everyone was like really happy to have us there, it's very Canadian.
Yeah, it is. Because, you've been to a lot more clubs than I have in a professional level. I've been to a couple as well. And you're right. It's nice when you get treated like a king because you're like, well, aren't we all, like, we're here working with you guys, and sometimes you feel like you're the enemy when you walk into some places.
And I think it also had a lot to do with how Steel Panther they are. Just their crew, they treat them like gold, even though, like, on stage you could tell they have to F with their crew and mess around with them, but when everything's, like, behind the scenes, when things need to be serious and professional, there's not a more professional group of people, and they're just great guys. And then, like we mentioned earlier, Chad Kroeger from Nickelback jumped up on stage.
How crazy is that?
That was pretty fun. I drunkenly thought he was Dane Cook.
That's even more fun.
That was pretty awesome.
You were excited for the wrong reason, but it was still a great reason to be excited. You knew there was a celebrity in the crowd. You just didn't know which one.
Well, put yourself in my shoes. You're drunk, and all of a sudden you see it, and you're on the side of the stage, and you see this dude, and you're like, that's Dane Cook. And wow, Dane Cook can sing.
Yeah.
Because he's killing it on Metallica's Enter Sandman. Then you realize as he comes out, you're like, no, that's not Dane Cook. It looks nothing like Dane Cook.
No,
in fact, it's the lead singer of Nickelback who lives in Vancouver, which makes way more sense than Dane Cook performing with Steel Panther.
Exactly. Especially, again, and Dane Cook being a great singer. Yeah, you're right.
And Chad, or as they called him on stage, Chaz, which I thought was funny. They kept calling him by the wrong name.
That's funny.
He brought out a bunch of shots for everybody and drinks. Like, he was just taking care of our band and Steel Panther as well. It's pretty awesome.
Hey, you know, man, that's classy.
Did you feel like a baller? Because, I mean, it sounds like it, dude.
To be honest, I was too wasted to even know what was going on, Rev. I didn't feel like a baller at all. I was just happy my friend Tony, who I wrestle with, was in the building. And I was more excited to hang out with my friend Tony than Chad Kroeger from Nickelback. Although, looking back on it, it's pretty freaking awesome.
That is so funny.
Yeah. Very cool. On Friday, Steve, Yeah, he might have been a rock and roll baller, but on Friday he did get this one wrong.
In what mountain range is Camp David located?
The Himalayas.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
Mount.
No.
I love
Mount
Mount
David. No.
Yeah. I think Appalachian was what we're looking for. Yeah. Yeah. The Appalachian Mountain Range.
Not Mount.
No, it's not Mount. You want a shot at beating Steve? Okay, you got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How do I figure out who my creditors are?
People, a lot of times, have had a long time of not having good credit and having collections, and so they're concerned that you may be concerned that you won't be able to find all your creditors if you file bankruptcy. How will I know which collection agency has my credit card bill from 10 years ago now? And that's something that's hard to keep track of because credit collection agencies transfer your debts all over the place. But we will pull all your credit bureaus, and by getting all three of your credit bureaus, we'll be able to tell who has your credit and debt now, which collection agencies have had it in the past, and we'll make sure that we file all your creditors when we file your bankruptcy so that nothing slips through the cracks.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.